in this panel discussion, we're talking about maintaining connection, and that's what we've been talking about for the last several weeks, and we're going to continue this for a little while until the Lord says stop. So that's what we're going to do. And there's a few scriptures that we've been reading and discussing and bringing into this discussion, and so I want to highlight those and bring those to your attention today. So Kim, will you just read the three scriptures that we have listed there real quickly?
Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Then we'll read Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. All who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. And I will write on them the name of my God, and they will be citizens in the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, that comes down from heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. And then Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity of the evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do.
Okay. So I want to draw your attention particularly to Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, because tonight what we're going to talk about is commitment. We've been talking about many things. Last week we had three of our elders up here on the panel, and we were really discussing how we live in the times that we're living in and how we prepare and how we equip ourselves and things like that, which was a great discussion. This week on our panel, we have three of our staff members, and two of them are elders as well. So down at the far end, for the first time in our panel discussion, over here we got Bill Forbes. So Bill's our senior adults pastor. Give Bill a hand for being on our panel tonight. Billius Forbesius. Bill is definitely our most seasoned staff member and elder, and so we're glad to have him. And then Lydia Bricker, our worship pastor, is joining us again. So thank you, Lydia, for joining us again tonight. And then Matt Wall, which is also one of our associate pastors and elders here at the River. Thank you, guys. So we're going to talk about commitment. And one of the things that I want to bring to your attention is, and just make a kind of an opening monologue or statement, and then I'll toss it to the panel. I'll ask a question. And here's what we did. We wrote one question down for the panel this week, because last week we got through exactly one question. We actually did a couple, but I mean, really one was the biggest one. So here's the thing. Many people, especially in our culture today, may attend church. I'm talking about in the church culture. They may attend church. They may be regular attenders at church. However, there's really, especially in the Western church culture, there's really no commitment to a particular local church. Commitment is very important to a local church where you live, because that's where you do ministry. And we're going to talk about that and what it shows us in the Word of God tonight. But a number of people these days attend different churches, many churches. They go from church to church based on what they feel at the particular moment. It's almost like they're saying, I don't want you to catch me in one place all the time, because if you do, you might ask me to do something. You know what I mean? It's kind of like they're concerned if they get roots somewhere, then they're going to be called upon to actually do something in the church and actually become a part of it. You know, I want to tell you that Kim and I are committed with all of our heart to the church, and not just to the church, but we're committed to this one, to the River. This is where we desire to be. This is where we want to be. If the Lord's willing and it's his will, we want to be here for the rest of our lives. This is where we would love to do ministry for the rest of our lives. Did you know that the average pastor stays in a church in America 3 years? The average pastor in America stays just 3 years in a church. And 3 years, it's just long enough to accomplish absolutely nothing. You know that, right? Like, they say that your congregation won't even get used to you until 7 years. So we just made it. We've been here 8, so you guys are used to us now. That's why I can dress like this on Wednesday nights. I'm working for Sundays. I'm just kidding. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, you can't do anything. I mean, think about it, 3 years. But I'll tell you what they can accomplish in 3 years. What they do accomplish by only staying 3 years is they send a message very loud and clear to their congregation that they didn't make a commitment to that church. That's what they accomplish. By this, you know, 3-year average tenure for pastors in America, they're sending a message, we're sending a message as pastors, that commitment is not a big deal. But commitment is means nothing anymore. So that you do that, and then they try, these pastors, you know, that are staying and flying around from church to church, what's happening is they're sending a message to their congregation that commitment's not important, but then they're asking their congregations to make a commitment. It just doesn't make sense. That's a really tough sell to do that. Did you know that in the 18th century in America, which is the 1700s, if you didn't know, that 71% of pastors in that century had one church their entire life in America? 71% had one church their entire lives. There's one church that I read about that was pastored by a father, a son, and a grandson for 123 years. For 123 years, that church only knew one family. That's commitment. It's very hard if pastors aren't committed to a local congregation to expect people to be committed. In fact, in some cases, I think pastors move faster than the people do. But this is a day of non-commitment in our country, isn't it? It just is. We live in a day. If you've been here any length of time, you've seen me do membership when we receive members. You've become a member here. And one of the things I always talk about is commitment. That commitment doesn't mean what it used to mean. When I grew up, commitment meant something. When Bill grew up, it meant even more, because that was a long time ago. I mean, back then, you know, they had to chisel the contracts into stone. But, I mean, they did. I mean, the commitment meant something. You could make a commitment to somebody with a handshake. You could sign a contract with a handshake. Your yes meant yes. It meant something. And these days, even a contracts, they say that the saying is contracts are made to be broken. That's the saying these days. It just doesn't mean what it used to mean. And we live in that type of day. So the church then is redefined by a consumer mentality. And we see that throughout the church today, and I'm talking about the local church, but also the church as a whole. We see a consumer mentality, and the idea is you're supposed to give something to the people rather than what the church is intended to be, which what the Bible tells us the church is all about, and that is for people to come and give glory to God. Instead, the church has become about our needs, meeting our needs. And people come or go because their needs are met or not met. So I think that's important for us to understand. It's very difficult right now for the church. It's a difficult time for the church. This is what we've been talking about. It's not only a difficult time because of the lack of commitment. Think about the lack of commitment that I've just described in the church today, and now think about the last year we just went through. It's hard to get people to come to church when there's such a lack of commitment, but it's even harder to get people to come to church with the lack of commitment and the government is saying no church. So someone said it like this one time. They said, we live in a day of ecclesiastical consumerism. Just like every other kind of consumerism, but this is all about, I'm going to go to a place that meets my needs. I'm going somewhere that pets me just the right way. And if things don't go my way there, if I don't get my way there, if I don't like the way things are going, I'll go find another church that will do it. So with that being said, I'm going to toss this question to the panel, and I'm going to send it to you first, Bill Forbes. All right. Why is commitment to a local church important? And it's a two-part question. And what does commitment really look like? So why is it important, and what does it really look like?
I don't use these a whole lot. I'm used to the hammer and chisel. commitment, and I think it's good that you give me that one first, Bill, because through my commitment to Jesus Christ, it has helped me all throughout the years. I've been in this particular church 49 years. I got saved when I was 20, and I started going to this church, I think a month after I got saved. And I found out that my commitment to Jesus Christ runs parallel to my commitment to everything else. And one thing that I really, really noticed, and not just with myself, but with people in general, is that we stay committed as much as we are committed to Him, if we are growing in Him. And that's one thing you'll find about a church that is being blessed and is growing. You're going to find growing in people. You will find that they're also growing spiritually if they hang around there. I'm thinking of churches like Gateway, you know, how they ever get to that place where they are. And Robert Morris is a tremendous teacher. And we have that here in this church. Pastor Bill and Kim are tremendous teachers, and we do many things to teach the Word of God. So commitment, I feel, goes directly to our commitment to Jesus Christ and our desire to grow in Him. And I found that through the years, I've had like, I think, five pastors, Pastor Scott, Pastor Burroughs, Pastor King, Pastor Sheldon, and now you guys. So I've had five pastors during all those times, and you know, I've seen just about everything you can see. I've had the opportunity to be upset about it as much as you can be upset about anything, but my resource was always the Lord. I always turned to Him. When things weren't going the way that I felt they should go, if they were doing things that I didn't think they ought to be doing, I think they ought to do it this way instead of that way. We all do that, don't we? We might not particularly like something. We might not like, you may launch something, and we don't really like that, you know. So if it's not doing the work of the Lord, then I would pray. And I would say, God, change this situation or change me, one or the other. And the Holy Spirit would begin to work on me, and sometimes things changed. Most of the times, I had to change. And that's the way that the Bible is laid out. You guys quoted Ephesians 4:16, and I think it was 4:16. Yeah. And I've got it in the King James Version here, but it's got a really, really good point here. And it says, "From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies." I highlighted that. By what every joint supplies. We are all part of this body here, aren't we? And we all have different functions. But whatever my function is, if I'm not there functioning the way that I'm supposed to function, then I'm not supplying what the body needs, and the body is hindered. Maybe it's got a sore foot or something. It can't walk too good. Or its baby finger is hurting something terrible. But just that example, we won't function the same if we don't do our part. So we're all here to do our part. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So all of this causes growth to the body, which we are, for the edifying of itself in love. And that's going to be the end result of a healthy body. Now, if the body is not healthy and the love is not there, then there's going to be murmuring. There's going to be complaining. And what happens when I latch on to that murmuring and complaining? And maybe it's even a justifiable thing. Maybe whatever we did as a church, we shouldn't have necessarily did it just that way. So maybe you're right, but are you really right? No, because the Bible tells us to do all things without murmuring and complaining. And first and foremost, let love abound in our midst. So if there is a problem like that, then we begin to pray and we ask God. And I believe, I truly believe that this is what has really given me strength and the ability to be totally committed to this church. And I absolutely would not move. I don't care how miserable I was or how bad it may seem, I absolutely would not move and go anywhere. And I've been in that situation. My wife's saying, I can't believe you won't do this. And I said, God hasn't told me to move. Amen. Amen. And that's exactly how it should be, because there are many, many, many legitimate moves where people have moved from one church to another, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that when it's legitimate, when it's the Lord leading you because he's got something for you and he needs you there. You're a ligament there that's going to give what it needs. You're going to fit in. You're going to be able to do what the Lord wants you to do. So in a situation like that, that's perfectly all right. But God, in the last 49 years, never give me that. And Bill, I told you when before you were pastor here, and there was a lot of issues with our last pastor, Pastor Sheldon. There was a lot of issues there. And I stood behind Pastor Sheldon 100%. And I told Bill, I said, I would do the same for you if you are the pastor. He's my pastor, and I'm going to stand behind him 100%. If I've got a problem, I'll share it with him. If I can't seem to resolve anything, I'll go to the Lord, and I'll have him show me what I need to do. But that's commitment. God wants us to be committed. He wants every single one of you here and committed to him. And if he wants you somewhere else, he'll show you. But it has to be by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so, I just want to reiterate on this. You can't do this if you are not growing spiritually. And that's what I see in a lot of people. They become stagnant. When you talk to them, you very seldom, if ever, hear anything from the Word of God coming out of them. And the Word of God should be constantly with us. And when we share, if the Holy Spirit's doing things in our lives, we share it with one another. And doesn't that build us up? Doesn't that strengthen us? I love talking to you. I mean, you get me cornered, and I'll talk on and on and on, kind of like I am right now.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah.
Okay, I think I covered what you wanted, Bill.
It's good. That's why I threw it to you first. All right, in closing, I'm just kidding. So I want to, before I throw it to Lydia and Ethan, Lydia and Matt, I want to point out a couple things. You know, Bill has said he's been here 49 years, which I just think is amazing. I think in the day and age we live in, to be in one place for 49 years, one church, because you said you had five pastors, and you know, that's in the last 49 years. I think that's actually pretty good for a church to have five pastors in 49 years, when in light of the statistic I just gave you. But, you know, I think about what you've been through, Bill, in 49 years here. I mean, even in the last 8 years, 8 years ago till now, we went from stained glass windows and pews to, you know, LED stage lighting and, you know, chairs. You know what I mean? We've made a lot of changes. A lot has happened in 8 years. And it's difficult sometimes to go through changes. It's difficult sometimes to stick through that. But I love what you're saying, because commitment is more than just
committed to a place, or committed to a person, or committed to a people. Commitment is committed to Jesus. And if you're committed to him, then those changes, even though they can be big ones at times, won't have the same effect on you, or will be easier to take and move through and navigate through. So that's really good. So let's go to Lydia and Matt. Lydia, what do you think about this and the question, why is commitment to a local church important? What does it look like? And anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah. Well, I was, when praying about this, when we received the notes, I was reading through Acts, and just when, you know, the people were up in the upper room and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then everyone began to, you know, sell their belongings, follow the apostles, live together and everything. And so I wanted to just read this really quickly. It's Acts 2, 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers who were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple's courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all of the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And I was just reading that and like thinking, what causes people to want to be together all the time? You think about, you know, different personalities and hard seasons, seasons where your family's growing, when work is hard, and what causes people to want to be together all the time. And it's most definitely not the people around them. Because if people are the thing, then it will be fleeting. It will change. It's different. But as far as this goes, and in this passage, it's because they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they had seen the revelation of Jesus's life and his sacrifice. And so they didn't choose to be together because they just wanted to be together. They chose to be together because they experienced something and they wanted more of it. And so in the Western church, in the Western culture, that, you know, we could all ask for forgiveness for, because even here, there's no level of pride that any of us would hold to say that we haven't fallen into this at one point or another, that we can fall into pleasing and we can fall into, you know, losing the main thing. I know I have, even just with Sundays, thinking, you know, a song didn't go the way that we thought it should and we wanted it to. And meanwhile, somebody's experiencing him in the crowd and I can't even look at it because I'm worried about the consumerism, about what was done in my own power. And if an organization that you're trying to be a part of, a church that you're trying to be a part of, if it can all go smoothly in your own power, then you're not doing it right. So, you know, we can't be here simply because it's convenient, because we want to be fed, because we want relationships. It should be because we adore Jesus and we want to worship him. And I was reading in Ephesians 3:10, and it says, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realm, according to his eternal purpose that he had accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there's different commentaries that talk about this scripture, and they say that this was meant to be, the church was a feeder for the angels to witness. And so the church, heaven is looking, heaven is watching your worship, heaven is watching you adore Jesus, and they're looking down saying, oh my gosh, Jesus died for all of them. He made them one. He made them brothers and sisters. They are now in a family together. If we come here with an agenda of just attendance, or just meeting social needs, or needing to get better life skills, or even learning scripture, and not having it be fully on just giving our whole being to Jesus, like, that's defeating the purpose of what a church is supposed to be. We're supposed to be a unified family of people who heaven can look at us and see mirrored back to them what is already happening in heaven, just full adoring of the Lord. And so I think we just too often get hung up on what church can do for us, what it's supposed to be, what, just if it fits in our life, if it fits in our cycle, and we can just make it out to be way too complicated and something that's not. And we focus on, you know, the minors of, you know, we can get into learning about relationships, learning about boundaries, learning about this or that. And it's like, all of that's great. But if Jesus isn't the primary first thing, then all of it gets messed up. And then we get into situations where maybe we're not attending. Maybe we're offended. Maybe we're, you know, this, that, or the other. It can be anything, because if Jesus isn't the first thing, then we have problems.
Yeah. When you mentioned, again, the consumerism, I mean, we can all get caught up in that. Leadership get caught up in that. In fact, I think one thing that hit me, Lydia, when you said that was, I think it puts pressure when the church is, and I'm talking about the whole church, is full of consumerism. It puts pressure on leadership to
dance monkey, to
cave to that. So let's, you know, that's why churches become so seeker friendly. Mm-hmm. Because the leadership feels like, well, we got to do this, and we got to do this, we got to do this, too, so that people will be comfortable when they come, so that they will want to be here. We should want to be here because Jesus is here. We should want to be here because he's moving. Like when you were saying about the song, man, that's so true. You know, there have been times that I've given a message, Kim's done it, and we've gone home and gone, man, that was a mess. Boy, that was a flop. That was horrible. Nobody got anything out of that. I know nobody got a thing out of that. And then we'll get 100 texts from people going, man, that just changed my life. Oh, man, God spoke to me and said this and said that. And we've learned over the years, just forget it. It doesn't matter how you feel, but that's that consumerism. We want to have the good feels. We want to have the, you know what I mean? Oh, everything looked good and moved good. And it was just an explosion, you know, of his presence. Sometimes an explosion of his presence doesn't look like an explosion. Sometimes there's God's rocking somebody on the inside and we don't even see it. And I think it's important for us to understand that.
Can I say something else?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, and what that is two things, control and a sense of like comfort. So when it's doing things in our own power. So like if we think it's supposed to happen a certain way, it has to go this way. I have to walk out of the service with somebody giving me a prophetic word, calling out, whatever. You want what you want. You want what's comfortable for you. You want it to fit your agenda. And it's not a purposeful, like, malicious thing. It's just this unconscious, you know, need for comfort. And it's the fact that you come here for Jesus to serve him, and that alone, like nothing else. He gives the gifts of relationships after. He gives the gifts of you getting revelations after, teaching you life skills, you know, helping your finances, helping whatever, having your kids have a good time. Those are just gifts that come from just praising him, but he doesn't owe you any of that. He just gives it to you.
You know, I really, I like the direction of the conversation right here, because we're talking about a consumeristic mentality, and we're conditioned in society to think that way. You know, when you think about all the commercials that you watch, and all the billboards that you've seen, and advertisements and magazines, and the messaging that capitalism puts out, it's have it your way, you deserve it, it's all about you, it's about you being happy and having your needs met. And so that unintentional, well, we don't really mean to make it that way about church, but when the whole rest of our life thinks that way, it bleeds over into church. And really the root of that, which is why it works so well from a marketing perspective, is because it's about selfishness.
Yeah.
It's all about me, 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 me. When the whole thing, everything, not just church, but everything is supposed to be about Jesus.
Yeah.
Built on him, he is in the center, and then everything comes from him, flows from him, and then our whole life is to him. And when we live that way, then a whole lot of stuff just doesn't even matter anymore.
Yeah.
And it becomes non-issues.
Okay. Matt's chomping at the bit.
You guys are awesome. I just want to tell you that. I got a little bit from each one of you that I want to sort of share
some thoughts I had. But Bill, I like when you talked about it's about relationship. Like, what is your relationship with the Father? Like, what does that look like? Do you even know your identity in Him? You know, and a lot of times I see this with a lot of people, and I dealt with this in my life, and I called identity crisis. And you don't understand who you are in Christ, and that's why you act the way you do. That's why you react the way you do. That's why you see things the way you do, is because you don't quite understand who you are in Christ yet. And you see it a lot in churches, and that's why you see some of these things like, oh, they changed the chandeliers to LED lights. Well, I'm out. You know, they don't sing hymns anymore. Well, I'm out. Well, that's why you see that shallowness. I call it what it is. It's shallowness, sorry. But it really is. And that's because you don't know who you are. You're in identity crisis. You don't understand who you are in Christ. And I dealt with that, guys. And if you didn't deal with that, or maybe you're still dealing with that, you know, and you say you're not, then you're not telling the truth. Because we all have. You got to work through, hey, this is, my nature is not to understand this. I'm born into that. We are. And when we're reborn, that goes away, and we work. Salvation is the beginning, you know, and then you go from salvation to growing and developing and understanding who you are in Christ. You don't just say a prayer and accept Jesus in your heart, and boom, you've arrived. You're there. You understand everything. All the junk isn't all already cleaned up for you. Your bed isn't already made, you know. You gotta work at it, you guys. You gotta work to understand. I've had to work at this. There's been, man, I've gone through a lot of transitions, and Bill and I have talked about this, you know, a little bit. And you know, I was, 25, 26 years I've been here, something like that, around in that ballpark. But I was a worship pastor for 16 years, and what happens is sometimes you label yourself what you do. And that is dangerous. Don't do that. Don't, if you catch yourself labeling, this is who I am because this is what I do, stop it. Stop doing it. It's dangerous. Because it'll hurt you, it'll mess you up, and it takes a long time to get out of that. But I will tell you one thing. Here's hope. Here's the hope in that. Holy Spirit is always there and always wanting to gently move you in the direction you need to go. You know? Change is so difficult, and I'm going to share this about my wife, Kara. Hi, babe. She's in kids. She's in kids right now, but she does not like change whatsoever, and it's difficult for her. And she admits that freely, and she knows, you know, she's working on it. Holy Spirit's working on her. But how many out there can say change is difficult? Who has a hard time? Every single one of us, I think, to some extreme, has a hard time changing. So think about that dynamic. We all have an issue with changing. We're born into a sinful nature. We're redeemed by Jesus. That's the start. And then you get into the Word. You get into a local body of believers that love each other. And I want to read this, and this talks about what you had to say, about how we should treat each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And this is Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do with all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It's clear. It's right there in God's Word what we should do, how we should treat each other. You know, and if we would do this, I'm pointing to myself, you guys. When I talk, I'm encouraging myself. I have the secret power of speaking God's word, Joyce Meyer's book up here, and there's power in your words. So when I speak words, it's coming right to me, and I'm reciting these words so I get it. Not just you, me. I need this. I need to get all this, you know? No one's arrived. So, but anyhow,
Let me say something about what you're saying, Matt. So something came to my mind when you were talking about, you know, growing up in the Lord. I think, and that's kind of the common theme here tonight about this, like, we're not going to be able to stay committed, be committed, and know about that and know what the Lord's speaking to us unless we grow up in the Lord. And it's really a paradox. And I think that's one of the reasons the church has trouble with it and people have trouble with it is the consumerism we've been talking about so much about tonight. But also, the Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 5. It says, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God, about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. And I think we have really, especially in America, we have a church full of babies, spiritual babies, who come in, give their hearts to the Lord, and stay there. They stay in diapers, they stay on milk, they don't grow up and eat solid food. And the paradox is that Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, unless you become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. And so there's what does that mean? Jesus says, unless you become like little children. But Paul is saying here, you need to grow up and get off milk and get on solid food and get out of the diapers. Well, Jesus is talking about in our wide-eyed wonder. He's talking about when he was saying that, he was saying, you have to have faith like a child. You have to believe that nothing is impossible. That's what Jesus was saying. He wasn't saying stay immature in the word and stay immature in the church. He was saying, you know, he wants us to grow up in our faith is what he wants us to grow up in. And actually, as you grow up in faith, you become more like a child in your faith. Because what happened is we got old. We did. We got old, and we real old, some of us. And what's happening, think about it. When you got older, what happened is you stopped believing in some things you used to believe in. You stopped having the wide-eyed wonder you used to have. How many of you remember that sermon I preached several years ago where I came out with a stick? You guys remember that? I came out with a stick, and I said, what is this? And a lot of people just said, it's a stick. And I said, no, it's not a stick. It's a rocket that I can fly around on. It's a broom. It's a gun. Remember all the things that it was. Why was it that? Well, because it was that when I was a child. I didn't see a stick as a stick. A stick became anything I wanted it to be. But I grew up, and it was just a stick. And we lost our imagination, our God-given imagination that we should have. And I think you we're hitting on something tonight, and we need to get back to that childlike faith. The church needs to grow up and get off milk and get on solid food. But as we do that, we need to have that wide-eyed wonder of a child. Go ahead.
And I was just going to add something quick. That's that discovery, you know, that some of us have lost that discovery, that, like you said, wide-eyed. But you're discovering more of the Father. You're discovering more of his goodness. You're discovering more of what he wants for your life, his plans of what he formed out for you. You know, that's what you're discovering. That's that discovery of, like, oh my goodness, what's the next step going to be? That's the perspective. That's the attitude we should have. What's the next step? You got something great for me. I know you do.
What's Daddy going to do today?
Yeah, I'm transitioning into this, and it's going to be great. What's going to happen? You know, and you should look at it that way instead of, like, oh, here we go. Got to get my Eeyore voice in. That was in nuts.
Yeah, well, just talking about, you know, becoming like little children. Little children have pure motive. Yeah. You know, they haven't experienced the world. They haven't experienced the heartache and the pain and all of that. And so to grow up and mature as like a mature believer, you have to restore a pure motive. And the only way you restore a pure motive is to make Jesus the sole thing you see. because you have to take your eyes off of a worldly perspective and just look at him so that he can give you new eyes, give you new lenses, so that you can see things from a pure motive, you can see things clearly, then you can mature and you have endurance and perseverance because he's your prize at the end. You know, nothing else that, it gets rid of the selfishness. It gets rid of everything else, but you have, the only way we'll ever be united as a body, as a whole church, a global church, as a church here, is, and the only way we'll be just unified, one, moving in the same mind, is if Jesus is the thing that we're looking at. Yes. It's really hard to hate somebody who loves Jesus, like, with all their heart. It's hard to not like somebody who loves Jesus with all their heart. You have so much more patience and love and understanding whenever you're filled with Jesus and you are seeing your brother and sister in Christ filled with Jesus. And so,
yeah, if we are united like that, it's a lot easier to be committed to one another, to committed to, right, mm-hmm. if we're united, if there's unity. If there's not unity, it's very, very difficult, if not impossible, to be committed to anything. So,
because you can't do either within your own will. You can't in your own will be fully just committed to Jesus. Like, he helps us through everybody, gives us new understanding, gives us new wisdom. We yeah. can't be committed to each other without Jesus' help, because to some level we all suck. So
I'm not going to use that word I used last week.
Yeah. Okay. Can I Bill, and then we're, no, Bill, and then we're going to open up for
yeah, basically kind of trying to wind this up here is Kim was talking about how the world will press in on us and what they do, you know. But the Bible tells us, and this is one thing I learned very, very early as a Christian, that Paul told us, he said, I know that in me, that is within my flesh, dwells no good thing. And I realized that if I was going to walk in the flesh, I'm not going to get the answers that I want. And we learned that growing up in our marriage, you know, and we had a couple encounters, you know, where she got mad at me, and she had no reason to be mad at me. And we ended up getting in a flat-out argument, and we were screaming at one another, and she went running into the bedroom crying, you know. And if you're an older man like I am, that's one thing you hate the most is women crying. You don't like them to cry, you know. So I'm sitting at the table, and I'm discouraged because of what happened, and I'm talking with the Lord, and I said, why, Lord? Why are we screaming at one another? What am I supposed to do? And the Holy Spirit might have been a real person, because he's talking to me like he's a real person, you know. He said, go into the bedroom and tell her you're sorry. And I said, why should I go in the bedroom and tell her I'm sorry? She should be coming out telling me that she's sorry. I'm talking to the Lord now. This is flat out exactly how it happened. And the Lord said to me, do you want peace in this house? I said, Lord, you know I do. He said, then go in the bedroom and tell her you're sorry. And I want to tell you right now, that is one of the hardest things that I ever did. But I knew I had to do it, because the Holy Spirit had directed me to do it. So I went in there, and you know what happened. That's a magic word, you know. And I was learning then to be led by the Spirit. And again, wrapping this up, and I know you would all agree that the most important thing in our lives is to be led by the Spirit. And sometimes I wonder to myself whether the people of God will acknowledge him enough, because he will go right down to the simple things of whether you ought to stop and get a hamburger. You know, I mean, the Holy Spirit will speak to you even in situations like that. And especially in the church, if we will allow, whenever we have, we start murmuring, complaining about something, the Holy Spirit will convict us. And he'll say, stop that, you know. He will. He'll speak to us. And then when we need to repent and say, I'm sorry, Lord, I shouldn't go there. Forgive me, you know. And so, again, you know, allowing the Holy Spirit in everything that we've said here tonight, If we don't allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, then we're not going to do it. Paul said, I crucify my flesh daily. Every day, my flesh wants to do something that I shouldn't do. But I crucify it, and I don't let it have its way. And I allow God. And another thing, I like what you said, Lydia. When somebody is filled with the Spirit and they're filled with the Word of God, that's a very attractive person. You like to be around that person. You like to talk with them, you know, because they encourage you. They spur you on. Dave Willie, you do that for me. You know, I get with Dave, and man, we just have a wonderful time. But that's being led by the Spirit. Go ahead, Bill.
All right, I'm going to have to cut you off because you're going to go another hour.
Can I say something back here?
Yes, and then we'll take some questions.
Right, sorry. So I know one good way to have a heart check is if you're in service and you're worried more about how it tickles your senses, then it's probably you need to check what you're captivated with. So, like, you need to be very intentional about being captivated with the King, because he's enough. And a lot of times, if we do that in the day-to-day, being intentional about being captivated with Jesus and Jesus only, then when we come together, it's not about, well, I don't like that song, or that doesn't sound good. We're not worried about the things that are flashy, and we don't get caught up in the consumerism, because Jesus is enough. And then we all come together that way, and then that brings unity because we're all here for Jesus. So that, for me, that's something that is a heart check is, okay, am I more worried about how this service is tickling my senses, like, you know, how my feelings and stuff are, or am I really captivated with Jesus? Because he'll take care of all that, you know, he'll meet every need, and he'll be enough.
Yeah, that's good. All right, so who has a comment or question or thought about this tonight? And if I could ask, just keep them as brief as possible, because I know we probably have several and we only have a few minutes left.
Okay, so I think for me, coming here and being a volunteer is looking at the leadership and who's been put in place over top of us. And I always just am so amazed, and what keeps me committed, not keeps me committed, but just inspires me is my worship pastor, Lydia.
You know,
to see her and Ethan and
Brown Noser. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to wrap this up. So, to see the commitment that she gives to God with all the things that she and Ethan have going on in their lives. I mean, we Sarah and I comment all the time. We don't know how you guys do it. And to be that committed and devoted to your ministry, not only your personal music ministry, but to the ministry of the river and the worship here. And every Sunday, even if we think, wow, that didn't really go the way we thought it should, to know that out here people are just getting wrecked, it's committed to, you know, I look at my worship pastor and I say, I'm gonna keep going because she wants to see change happen out in these seats. They really want to see Holy Spirit move. And so I think to look at our leaders and to see their devotion to Holy Spirit and to God would keep all of us committed, and hopefully people that come in and visit can see that, and they can see that we're not in this for a show and consumerism, that this is like just love on a plate here. So
that's good. Thanks, Bruce. Other comments right here behind you.
Earlier you had spoken about when people are leaving churches and part of the reasons why. I agreed with what you said. However, I also think that oftentimes when someone's moving around a lot, sometimes they don't want to get too comfortable because they're comfortable with their demons. And then once you're somewhere long enough, people get to know you, and that means they can see you even more so. And so a lot of times people are bound and they don't even know they're bound. They don't even know why they're leaving church and going somewhere else all the time, and it's because the enemy has them so bound that they are just twisted up.
I think that's a great point. That is something that Bill and I had talked about, and we just had made our way around to that. But yes, people don't want to be seen, and so if you don't stay somewhere long enough to be known, then you can keep certain things hidden. And it prevents you from accountability and conviction and all of those things. So that is absolutely an issue, for sure.
Yeah. Another one? You guys have one?
Nope. You guys don't. Oh, you're just playing around, huh?
Jokes.
You can't sit by each other anymore. Go ahead.
Crazy. So back in 2020, we were going to do the circle groups, and I was like, yeah, this would be great. I was on fire. Whatever. 2020 was amazing and wrecked our whole world, and a lot of change happened. If you ever want to know a story that sounds like a fantasy, come and talk to me, and I'll give it to you. But anyway, so then Scott reached back out and said, hey, you want to still do a circle group? And I'm like, no, I'll get back to you. I'll look at my schedule. I was like sugarcoating it. And I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I just was like, yeah. And it kind of, whatever. I'm being real. It's cool. And so, so time's ticking away. He's very good at it. He's a good follow-upper and follow-upper pastor. And he's like, so, you gonna do it? I'm like, yes. And I sent the text, and I'm like, oh, dear, what just happened? Phone, you are not working right. And so fast forward, we've had two amazing Tuesdays out at the property, and I didn't realize how much I needed to be committed to something other than my family, if that makes sense. And to what I have always been committed to here at church. But I needed to step out of myself and my other commitments because I was starting to get stale. And it was starting to affect everything. I was still doing stuff and like, oh, being crazy. But I know Holy Spirit was prompting me to do more. And Nate, I don't know how long ago it was, but he said, oh, my thing that I was going to do came up, and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do it. And that was, like, it happens to me. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do it. I love people, but the enemy was trying to take that commitment of being with people away from me, and he was trying to be successful in doing that, and I'm stomping on his throat because he has no room in my life for not being committed to the people God has trusted me with.
You know, Mindy, as you were talking about that, Holy Spirit dropped something to me and said, maybe we have a problem committing to some things we're supposed to commit to because we stay committed to other things that he never told us to commit to.
Yeah, that's really good, Bill.
You know, and I know I've done that in my life, and I'm sure all of us can, you know, testify to that. Like, sometimes we commit to things that God never told us to commit to. And they eat up our time, they eat up our life, and they're miserable to us, and we don't even realize it. They're just consuming us. And God wants us to commit to something, but we can't because we've got these other things that we committed to that he never led us in that direction. So I think, you know, we need to take inventory. You know, we need to take a look at our lives and say, Lord, are these things, you mentioned Nate, and, you know, so you came into the conversation anyway. But I know that's one thing that you know, when we were talking about circles, Scott had Nate and Kate do part of the training for the initial circles. And that's one thing that they did a couple years back, started taking inventory every year. And God, what do you want us to commit to? Where you know, what do you want us to stick with? And what's in our life that, am I saying this right? That we just need to get rid of. Like, it shouldn't be there. Or it's time to move on. And, you know, I think in talking about all this, one of the things that we didn't bring out a lot, we said it a little bit, but, you know, there are things in our lives. Sometimes there are times that God moves and says, okay, it's time to go. It's time to move on. Those things happen. I'm not criticizing people or pastors or leaders who God legitimately comes in and says, hey, it's time to move. It's time to go. If that were the case, if we couldn't do that, then Kim and I wouldn't be here. Because God came to us a little over 10 years ago, actually about 12 years ago, and started stirring us and moving upon our hearts. And in fact, at that time, I was so committed to where we were, and I know that I wasn't listening to the voice of God because I was so committed to that place that I was at. And so you have to be careful. Again, back to what Bill said, you got to be open and listening to the Holy Spirit continuously.
Let him just continuously pour into you, because if you're not, then you can miss what God's leading you to. And I'm certainly glad we didn't miss this. Okay, but I'm talking about that we, the consumerism and all the things that lead us to that point where we're just, we flit around from place to place because we don't want to land, whether it be something like Tracy said, because we just don't want anybody to really, really know us, because then we have to deal with some things.
You know, the thing is, anything in life requires effort and work on our part. So whether we're talking about our marriage, so it requires deep commitment. And as wonderful as he is, we have stuff sometimes, so we have to work through that. And the commitment is what makes us choose to work through the issue. Like Bill was saying, the commitment makes you do that. So the same thing is going to be true for wherever it is that you're going to church. It could be, you know, that you have an issue with a person in the church, or you have an issue with decisions or changes that are coming. And you have to decide, I'm going to work through this. You know, just like I'm not going to just bail on Bill because he cut the grass too short, right? And doesn't that sound so silly when I say that? But people bail on a church for reasons that are just as silly. Because you took out the pews, or because you took the flag off the stage, or because you stopped passing the offering plate, or you stopped doing communion the first Sunday of every month. You know what I'm saying? When you say it out loud, you're like, well, that's kind of silly. It is. But that's when you have to work things out. And sometimes the Lord brings change in our life for that specific purpose, to prune some things and cause us to work stuff out and learn to love past our preferences and be committed in what is not what we think is ideal, but is still Jesus-centered and Jesus-focused.
Okay, we got time for maybe one or two more comments or questions. So there they are, right there, those two.
I have no idea why I'm going to say this, but because it's completely irrelevant, but the Holy Spirit's been dealing with it for the last 30 minutes. So a lot of the issues, actually all the issues that could be had in a church could be addressed like this: is God in the center of your life? Because if God's in the center of your life, then maybe you can question the pastor. But if God's not in the center of your life, then you need to follow our leadership. Because I believe God's in the center of your life. That's why I'm here, you know, with under your leadership. And that goes full circle. You know, our health, our where we work, our finances, where we live. If God's in the center, all that should be in line.
Yeah.
It will be in line with what God wants for us. And there's something else I was going to say, but I forgot, so it'll come back. But there's another thing I was going to say, and I don't know why this one either, but 2 years ago, we were going through a hard time with our finances. And I'll share this story over and over again, but tonight I have to say it again. And I don't know how much money I had in the bank, but I'm like, God, this isn't enough. Like, what am I going to do? And he's like, well, just give it to me. He's like, if it's not enough, you can't do anything with it. I can use it. So I did. But like from that point forward, like, God's been very, very faithful. And our faithfulness, he's been more than faithful. And I like to think, like, how much more can he do with the more I can give, you know? People want the very, very best of God, but they don't want to give, or say we don't want to give our very best to God. And what that looks like is God being in the center. You know, if you think back to when we were in love with our significant others, you know, When I picture, you know, dating Tiffany and what that looked like, does my relationship with God look like that now? And the answer is no. Do I love God wholeheartedly? Yeah, I do. I'm growing. But to imagine what it could look like to be that in love with God, to putting, because Tiffany, obviously the center of my world. You know, you wake up, Tiffany, you know, my wife, well, my girlfriend at the time, you know, and your whole world revolves around that person. And that's what our relationship with God should be like. And then we won't have issues with our leading, you know, our leadership or our friendships or our relationships. God handles it all. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Aaron.
Peace.
That's good. RJ.
I'd like to touch base on the statistic that you brought with people only staying like relatively 3 years and kind of touch base on what she said is a lot of people, they come to a church because they feel drawn. I can speak for myself. I didn't lead my life according. I grew up in a church or in a family of religion, no relationship, and I found a relationship late in life, but I committed to it. But the enemy wants to remind you of who you were, and it was a battle. And I think when I first started coming here, I was at a church for 12 years, and then I had started coming here. And when I think the new people come in and they want to give their heart, there is a lot of power that is going on in this building on a Sunday. And as a seasoned Christian, I can feel it. I know what to do with it. And I know what the Holy Spirit is teaching me and where I'm going and what I'm doing. But if you're a new Christian to that, it can be overwhelming. And I think as a body of believers, we should be, more aware of the new people that show up and understand. And the truest statement that I ever heard from somebody, and it was actually the pastor of my first church, is he was more concerned with where my heart was going than where my person was at that moment. And he could see that in people. And I tried to encourage that in a lot of other people because that was an influence for me that I will never forget. And that, I think, would help as a church.
Yeah, that's, RJ, that's so good. You know, what you're saying there is, you're really saying it's all about discipleship. I mean, if we as seasoned Christians, because most of us here tonight, I would say, as I look around the room, we've been in the faith a while, and you're here on Wednesday night because you're a core. You know, you're coming because you're hungry. You're hungry for what we're talking about tonight, that you want Jesus at the center of everything, and you know that you need the fellowship of believers. We sharpen one another. Because I guarantee you all of us have gotten something good out of this tonight. You know, God's spoken to all of our hearts through this and challenged us. But we have to do that. We have to look around and again, back to that consumerism. If we get caught up in the consumerism at any level, whether it's leadership, lay people, whatever, you get caught up in that, then you're going to come in and it's going to be all about you. You're going to get your kids and leave and it's going to be all about you. You know, let me just get out of here. Let me get, you know, wow, that was a good service, but let me get out of here. Let me get the kids home. Let's get, go get lunch, whatever we're going to do. And we got to get past that. Like you're saying, we've got to get to the place where you're right. The power of God is in this place and he moves. And there's so much going on here. Not just Sundays, Wednesdays when we're coming together. Whenever we're together, God is here and he's moving and things are happening. And we can't be in such a rush to just get out of here. We have to, you know, be aware of our atmosphere and what's happening and those new people that are here that just experienced a bomb going off in their lives of Holy Spirit, and they don't know what to do with it, and they don't know where to go, and you know the enemy's going to come in and have a heyday with them if one of us don't get to them and say, hey, let me just talk to you for a minute. Let me just tell you about what just happened in your life.